We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable to them, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. And this week's opening quote comes from Thomas Jefferson. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And well, folks, here we are at the beginning of a new era, the inauguration of President Trump. And what a circus it's been up to this point. It really has. And what an uncertain world we are heading into. The most unpopular president by popular vote that has ever been elected, apparently. The lowest approval rating ever, which probably goes to show why people shouldn't get out and vote if they really don't want to see someone elected, or they do want to see someone elected. But again, when you look at the candidate he was running against, it's not surprising that it is Trump who won. Personally, I don't even think Trump intended to win. I don't think Trump was supposed to win. I think the purpose of Trump was to take the heat off Hillary Clinton so people wouldn't notice all the baggage that she was carrying around. And that's what I said from the beginning, and I stick to that. I still think that was what was intended. But I think the revelations of the Clinton emails and the Podesta emails and all the stuff that got revealed right on cue is what brought this along. And he's certainly doing his best to upset the apple cart. He's attacked virtually every sacred cow the system has so far. He's attacked NATO. He's attacked the Federal Reserve System. He's attacked the political system. He's praising Brexit. He's wanting to improve relations with Russia. He's doing a lot of things that the established political system really doesn't want him to do. And in doing this, he's kind of throwing the truth movement a bone as well. And I've been sitting back and watching this for the last couple of months, and I've really been trying to look at it positively and to think what might happen if there's enough pressure and he actually does do the right thing. But looking at it in the weeks building up to this inauguration, and hasn't this inauguration been a complete circus, folks, hasn't it? You know, busloads of protesters coming in, all financed by Soros and the Clintons, no doubt. Apparently 4 busloads of protesters for every 1 busload of supporters. And you've got to look at this and ask what these people are really protesting. I mean, of course, they're not really protesting Donald Trump. What they're protesting is democracy. Here are people who believe in the democratic process, and yet because their candidate didn't win, they've chosen to come and protest democracy. So these are people that are basically saying, yes, we would like a dictatorship. We would like the dictator of choice, the one with the kindest face. And that's really the stance they're taking, these people. But what a circus it has been, folks. And like I said, I've been trying to find something positive in this. And Trump's been throwing a lot of bones to the truth community. Like I said, I mean, he's been upsetting a lot of other people. He's got people making sexist accusations against him and all this sort of stuff, which is all quite predictable. But he's been throwing the truth movement a lot of bones and trying to get all of the alternate people and all the people who are rebellious and people who are wanting to make a stand against the government, he's making a real attempt to get all of these people on his side. And it's kind of a concern because while he's doing this, he's appointing some very, very right-wing people to his cabinet. He's got a lot of people in there who were advisors to Clinton. He's got a lot of people in there who supported the war with Iraq. He's always talked about giving the police more powers. He's talked about upgrading the military quite a bit. He's making threatening postures towards Mexico, the whole concept of building a wall and all this sort of stuff, which is a completely ridiculous idea. And he's a sort of man, you know, when you look at his attitude towards people, the attitude that he's demonstrated towards CNN, I mean, that was quite good, the way he stood up against CNN. But when you look at it, it was also quite arrogant. And it shows a man who's got more than a little of the fascist in his system. And you've got to wonder, this is the type of man who's likely to go and bomb Mexico because they don't want to pay for the wall, or to go and start war with some country because they don't like the cut of his suit or the style of his hair, or they make a comment about his hands. I mean, this is the sort of thing that we're likely to see from this guy. He's a real wild card. And though he's been throwing the truth community a lot of bones, you look at who he's got. He's appointed the CEO of DynCorp as one of his head advisors. And DynCorp is who's running the entire human trafficking system. That's who runs all the Gladio operations. This has all been exposed through the Clinton emails, and it's all been quite well documented that this is who is funding and running a lot of the wars and a lot of the false flags all over the place. He's made openly complimentary marks towards Dick Cheney, which is a real concern because Dick Cheney is very likely one of the architects in the 9/11 attacks. And he's appointed the most right-wing extremist you can find as his ambassador to Israel. And he's also made noises about moving the US embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And if he does that, then he will reveal himself straight away, because that is possibly the worst move that anybody could make. And that shows complete and utter capitulation to Israel. You know, you really got to look at the way this man is running things, folks. A lot of what he's doing does not look good. You know, he's made a lot of rhetoric to get all the independent media on his side, and I've really tried to find something positive in what he's been doing and the direction he's been going. You know, just to try to encourage enough people to stand up and get behind him if he does want to make these changes. But you've really got to look below the surface to see how it's all being played. I mean, even the stance he's taking with the Federal Reserve, he said that he is going to abolish the Federal Reserve and reintroduce the gold standard. And that's all very well, but who has all the gold, folks? You know, the Rothschilds and people like Donald Trump are the ones who've got all the gold. I doubt that there's very much left in Fort Knox. I would suggest the Bush family took that out of there long ago. Or, if not the Bushes, then perhaps the Clintons. They seem to have this penchant for collecting gold. But doing that, I mean, if he's going to take on the Federal Reserve, this is going to be a huge move, folks, because all of the central banks around the world all depend on the Federal Reserve. So this will basically change the whole concept of what the US dollar is, and it will probably see the US dollar removed as the global reserve currency, which would see the end of the petrodollar, but it would also have the effect of completely crashing the US economy. So that's something to look at. Remember that old Simpsons episode where Donald Trump became president and then he crashed the US economy? Interesting, isn't it? And there's all sorts of other possibilities with this as well. Like, I'm actually recording this show this week because I want to watch the inauguration, and I'm recording before the inauguration. There's also the chance that he may even get popped during the inauguration after I've recorded this show, which would mean that Obama would retain the chair. And that would be interesting as well. But if he doesn't, if he makes it through, and he goes through and he decides to start implementing all these changes, that's all very well with what he's doing on the surface, but when you look below the surface and see who he's got on his cabinet and what his postures are towards certain peoples around the globe, then it looks quite dangerous, and he may well be the tyrant that simply snuck in the back door. You've got to remember as well, there's been all sorts of executive orders that have been enacted by previous presidents. George W. Bush certainly enacted a lot of executive orders. Obama certainly enacted an enormous amount of executive orders. And all of these orders have served to give the president virtually dictatorial powers. But neither of the previous presidents have really used these executive orders too much. But they're all there if Trump would like to just kick them online and bring them into play, because the country needs him to do so in order to protect the people. And if he does this, you'll find that there's a lot of gun-toting truthers that might just get behind him, thinking that they're on the right track, because who knows, he may just present this as some sort of a Muslim threat or whatever. I mean, his posturing towards Iran is also very disturbing, because Iran is a peaceful nation that does not want to go to war with anyone. Iran hasn't attacked another country in 270 years, and they certainly don't want to go to war with the United States. Iran is not sponsoring global terrorism. The terrorism that's being sponsored around the world is being sponsored by states such as Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the Clinton Foundation. So You've really got to look at how all this is being played, folks. There's a real danger of things going very, very pear-shaped from this point. And as I said a couple of shows ago, or maybe a couple of months ago, grab the popcorn, folks, because we are in for a hell of a ride with this Trump presidency. And I even wonder how long his presidency will last, whether he'll even make the first term. And it's also the danger that if he does investigate the Clinton Foundation, he may get assassinated. And if he is assassinated, I would say that's what it's for. It wouldn't just be because he's taking on the Federal Reserve and because he's an all-round good guy, because I don't think he is. I think he's a businessman. And we don't really want the world run by a businessman anyway, do we? I mean, we would prefer the world to be run by good human values, not by good business values. You know, I think Trump would be happy if the world was one big department store. He'd be quite happy with the New World Order as long as it was run as a nice, tight, efficient business and everyone was given enough toys and enough money and enough wages to keep them all happy. That's kind of like the world I think Trump would like. And that's really not the world that mankind needs, but you've really got to look at where this is going, folks. I think we're in for a real freak show with this. But as I've often said recently, folks, you're going to see all of this unfold very, very quickly. All is going to be revealed in the very, very short time of the Trump presidency as to what this man's true intentions are. Because there are three things this man can do to prove his worth, and if he doesn't do these three things, then he will also prove what type of a man he is. And the three things he needs to do is he needs to investigate the Clinton Foundation. I mean, this is a given. The revelations of the Clinton emails have been absolutely mind-boggling, absolutely phenomenal information, and we can see just why the world is in the state that it's in. And when this is looked into a little deeper and some of these connections are traced, you're going to find which governments are involved in this as well. You're going to find their influences outside the United States and influences that come from certain countries in the Middle East that may well be affecting this global situation as well. So that's one thing he really does need to look at. He needs to investigate the Clinton Foundation, and he needs to prosecute Hillary Clinton. He really does, and every other person involved. All these people need to have their assets frozen, and they all need to be looked into. Another thing he needs to do is he needs to launch a new investigation into 9/11. I believe he did mention this during his campaign, and it is something that desperately needs to be done. That's something that cannot be avoided. He must do this in order to prove his worth. And another thing he should do is another thing he said he would do, and that is to remove all foreign lobbyists. And I would suggest that includes Israel. And what he also needs to do is remove funding from Israel. He needs to stop funding this state and needs to put some money into rebuilding Palestine and establishing some sort of dignity for the Palestinian people. If he takes a pro-Israeli stance and moves the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, then this will reveal exactly what this man is made of. Because if he does that, folks, it's not going to matter what else he does. He can replace the healthcare system and give everybody free health insurance and make sure they're all looked after that way. He can bring in jobs to appease people. He can do this, bring industry back into the country, all sorts of stuff to appease the people, make sure they've got higher wages and nicer food and all the stuff he wants to do. But if he does not do those three things, if he does not investigate the Clinton Foundation, investigate 9/11, and withdraw funding from Israel, then he will reveal himself as being simply another globalist and a traitor to the people. You know, if he moves the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, then it's basically a declaration of war against free people all over the world, folks. It really is. This is one of the most anti-life and anti-human things any world leader could do, because by moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, you're basically saying that all of Palestine is Israel, and you are condemning the Palestinian people to death, and you are condemning all possibility of even a two-state solution to give even half of the country back to the Palestinian people. So this is a really bad thing if he does this, folks, and all will be revealed very, very quickly. You know, I have tried to put faith in this man. I really have. I've tried to put some hope in this over the last few weeks when I've been looking at it. I've tried to look at all the possibilities of how it could go right. And I've tried to put some encouraging energy out there into the airwaves. And I still believe even no matter which way it goes, whether it goes right or whether it goes wrong, whether he turns out to be Superman, the greatest president the United States has ever had, or whether he turns out to be the tyrant that snuck in the back door and a total capitulator to Israel, either way, it still provides mankind with a huge opportunity. Now, if he turns out to be the traitor that I think he is shaping up to be, and the player that I think he is shaping up to be, then this still provides a huge opportunity for the human race to actually stand up for themselves. I don't know, folks, it does get a little frustrating, you know, and I've tried to give Donald Trump the benefit of every doubt that I could. I've tried to just sit back and wait and put it out there in the hope that it would encourage something in the field to maybe spark some positive direction for this species. But as I said, it's really not looking good the way things are unfolding. But even if Donald Trump does turn out to be the traitor to the world that he appears to be shaping up to be, it may be a good thing for the people anyway, because perhaps it will inspire them to rise up and stand up for themselves. Maybe it will help them see that there is no remedy to be found in government, and there never will be. There is no savior or hero coming along with a shiny suit and a nice comb over to save them. They actually have to do it for themselves. People have to take a little bit of responsibility for themselves, and they have to stop participating in the system. They have to stop supporting evil in the world, stop supporting all this negative stuff, stop supporting the military, stop supporting the police, stop supporting the government, stop supporting all of these wars, start supporting each other. That's what needs to happen. So maybe if Trump does turn out to be the traitor of the people, perhaps that will inspire the people to at last stand up for themselves and make a difference. So even with the negative, folks, we can always find a positive if we look hard enough. The thing is, we have to apply ourselves to these opportunities when they come along, and all of this is truly a huge opportunity, regardless of which way it goes. So yeah, perhaps there are those out there who think I may have been a little hard on President Trump with my remarks on the show, but folks, really it does come down to that. If he doesn't do those three things, if he doesn't investigate Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, if he doesn't launch a new investigation into 9/11, and if he doesn't stop funding to Israel and he does move the embassy to Jerusalem, then it's not going to matter what else he does. If he does those three things, then he's a traitor to humanity. It's as simple as that. Irrelevant of anything else he does. He can appease the people. He can give them all these gifts while he messes things up around the world, but it's not going to make any difference. He will have exposed himself as what he is if he does not look after that situation. I mean, he could heal the situation in Palestine. He really could. Just remove funding from Israel. That's all you got to do to heal the situation in Palestine. Start putting some funding into Palestine so they can build their infrastructure up again. You know, there's a lot of things that could be done. You know, and some of the stuff that he says, you know, like NATO being obsolete. Well, that's all very well. NATO may well be obsolete, but what do you intend to replace it with? I mean, obsolete is a curious choice of words. You didn't say it was bad. You didn't say it was ineffective. You said it was obsolete, which indicates that you think it is outdated. So perhaps you want a new, improved version. So where are we going with this? Are you going to let it just go by the wayside, or do you intend to replace it with something? Is that going to be something that's even more totalitarian than NATO? I mean, what's going on here? What's going on with all of the stuff that's being offered to the people? You know, frankly, not a lot of what he's saying really makes a lot of sense to me. And I don't know, folks, but it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel real somehow. It doesn't feel like this is reality, that Donald Trump is the president of the United States. I feel like I've entered the Twilight Zone. I feel like perhaps the Mandela effect is real and we're actually in a simulation here. Maybe this is virtual reality. Can this be real? That Donald Trump is president of the United States. I mean, as I said earlier, I seriously wonder whether this man's even going to complete his first term. And even looking at the recent antics with Putin and Clinton and everything, I feel like I'm living in a cartoon, like this is a comic book reality, like I'm part of some sort of weird script. You know, it's like the Truman Show and Donald Trump as president. You know, I simply cannot think of a more unlikely candidate. I really can't. And it's just going to be really interesting to sit back and watch the sideshow, folks, but I hope it doesn't get too ugly too quickly. That is the problem that concerns me. The fact that you really don't know which way this man's going to go. So we've really got to keep a close eye on things over the next couple of months, folks. But like I said, it's going to happen very quickly. You're going to see this revealed very, very quickly. And if it does go as bad as I think it may actually be going to go, my great hope is that the people of the world rise up and take the matter in hand. And I mean, seriously, folks, it's about time we did that anyway. I mean, haven't we been talking about it for long enough now? It's about time we showed a little bit of self-responsibility, showed a little bit of backbone, and really started calling this stuff out when we see it, and not taking a backward step to authority, not taking a backward step to anything which causes us to deviate from our moral compass, and simply doing the right thing. I mean, this is a freak show unfolding, it really is, and it's anybody's guess where it's going to go. The thing is, folks, that when much of the independent media is looking at this and looking at Donald Trump's stance on things, it's very, very difficult for them to ascertain what his true intentions are, because he is saying and doing so many good things, like his stance towards NATO and the reduction of nuclear weapons and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, it's great talk. But again, you've got to look at who he is appointing to his cabinet. That's the real problem. And, you know, you've got to look at all these riots that are happening, all the riots that led up to the inauguration, or the protests that led up to the inauguration. I really believe a lot of this is being staged. This is being financed by the Clinton Foundation and by Soros. And a lot of this may be a lead up for the assassination of Donald Trump, because if he does launch an investigation into Hillary Clinton, there's going to be a lot of people exposed. There's going to be a lot of people that want to take him out. And if there is already this whole protest, indignant atmosphere being promoted in the United States, then it will be very easy to say it was simply someone in the crowd who took him out because of racist comments. This is highly likely, folks, that if he is assassinated, that's who he'll be blamed on. But the real reason will be because he is attacking the entire established political system. And it's good that he's doing so, because the political system is completely corrupt. The problem is, folks, as I said, even though he's saying good things on the surface, many of the people he is appointing to his cabinet and getting as his advisors is a real concern. On a more positive side, maybe he is simply keeping his enemies close. Maybe he's getting the CEO of DynCorp as a personal advisor because he intends to bring DynCorp down, and he wants to keep his enemy close. Maybe he has picked the most hardline right-wing extremist ambassador to Israel that he could find, because he knows that it is only such a hardliner that will be able to deliver his message to Israel that he's going to stop funding them and start helping the Palestinian people. There's always this chance, folks, that this may be what he's doing. And yes, I'm stretching and really clutching at straws here, but I'm trying to find a positive in some of the appointments that he's made, because things just aren't looking good, folks. And I really would like it to go in a good direction from here. I really would like to see Trump do the right thing. And I really would like to see some sort of emancipation from this slavery system from the Trump presidency. But it's just going to depend on how he plays it. And you know me, I don't like to bring doom and gloom to people. I like to try to find a positive in things. And that's what I'm trying to do with Donald Trump. And that's what I've been trying to do with Donald Trump ever since it became clear he was going to be the president. But it is difficult, folks, to find anything very positive about this. It really is. Like I said, he says a lot of good stuff on the surface. He says a lot of rhetoric that the people want to hear. But looking at the actions on the ground and looking at the cabinet appointments that he's making, as I said, it's anything but confidence-inspiring. I mean, it's all very well to be supporting Brexit and to be giving the intelligence agency a hard time and to be giving NATO a hard time, bringing in health insurance for everybody in the United States, securing the borders, which you could do without this anti-Muslim, anti-Mexican policy. But again, if he moves the American embassy to Jerusalem, then what's it all going to count for? Because he's going to cause a massive amount of instability simply by doing that. And it shows this appeasement towards the state of Israel, which is really not a good thing. So with all the carrots that he's dangling and with all the good stuff that he's offering on the surface, all the stuff that the people are cheering about, it's going to be very important to keep an eye on the left hand while the right hand is handing out gifts. It's going to be very important to have a look at what the other hand is doing behind the scenes. And like I said, folks, it could go either way. He could be the best president that the United States has ever had, or he could simply be the tyrant that snuck in the back door and brought the whole globalist police state online. Naturally, if such a police state was to come online, it would start in the United States, and you could well see a civil war brewing from what's going on in the United States at the moment as well. I mean, all of these funded Hillary supporters and all of these paid protesters, All we need, folks, is a few shootings and things to get a little bit out of control. All we need is a company like Otpor or DynCorp to go in there and disrupt things, and you'll get martial law, you'll get all the things that you really didn't want, and it will all be contrived. So this is very much on the cards as well. You've really got to watch how this is being played, folks. But Trump truly is a wild card in all of this, and as I said earlier, I still don't believe it was ever meant to be. I don't think that he was supposed to become president. I don't think he knows how to be president. I think that even with all the good intentions he claims to have, you're not going to be able to make any of these changes anyway, because there are all of these processes in place which prevent you from simply going in there and ruling with an iron fist. I mean, that is, of course, unless he intends to bring into play all of the executive orders that were written by George W. Bush and Barack Obama. And he certainly does have the opportunity to do that. Remember, Barack Obama said, now don't go writing executive orders. This is not a good thing. Perhaps that was a clue that you don't really need to be writing executive orders, because all the executive orders that you need are already in place. All you have to do is bring them into play. But folks, we've been talking about how the global financial system is going to crash for a great many years. And everyone's been expecting it to be moves made by the Federal Reserve. Everyone's been expecting it to be some sort of a big outbreak of world war or whatever. There's been all sorts of things that have been put there to distract us. But what about if it's done from within? What about if it's simply done by a rebellious president that is standing up for the truth movement and the independent media and calling it our movement and saying, we're going to bring about change and make America great again? What if it is simply all one big play, folks? All the world is a stage, and it's very important for people to pay attention to the finer details. No matter how much they want to have rose-colored glasses about these things, it's really important that people do look a little bit deeper at what's going on. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so all the world is a stage. I've said this so many times, and it really is true. And when looking at this, I mean, just look back at when Barack Obama was elected, when he first came to office. Remember the huge wave that swept around America, the huge wave of relief. Everybody was so happy. Everyone was believing that this was going to be something that brought about change. And it kept everybody occupied for a little while. It kept everybody distracted while all of this stuff went on behind the scenes. And now, right when everyone has figured out that Barack Obama was actually the worst president the United States has ever had, he dropped 26,000 bombs in 1 year after receiving the Nobel Peace Prize and then going out and bombing 5 or 6 countries or something. I mean, it's just ridiculous what he did. And people are realizing how much they've been played, and they are really thinking about rising up and doing something about this system. Then along comes Trump. And this kind of throws a real bone to the truth community. And Trump's out there lavishly gifting everybody with health care and rhetoric against the CIA and rhetoric against NATO and calling it our movement and all of this sort of stuff. But what's going on behind the scenes, folks? He doesn't seem to be putting any focus on the Pizzagate issue. And a lot of this is just a big distraction, folks. It's a big glitz and glamour festival to keep people from looking at what's going on behind the scenes. So before putting too much faith in this man, you really should be stepping back and just observing for a minute or two to see what this man is actually going to do, and have a look at what his ties are, and have a look at what his international policies will be. Because it doesn't really matter what the domestic policies will be. I mean, he may bring in healthcare and all sorts of stuff like this, but each particular county, each community is controlled by their local council, and their local council gets their marching orders direct from the United Nations. So it doesn't really matter what he does on a federal level anyway, because the federal level is more about international policies. I mean, sure, there are some blanket things he can do, such as healthcare, but ultimately the presidential office deals with foreign policy more than anything else. And we're just not hearing a lot of that from Donald Trump, unless it's build a wall between America and Mexico, which is kind of ridiculous and a hell of a way to run your foreign policy. And what's the wall for, Donald? Is it just to keep the Mexicans out, or is it also to keep the Americans in? You know, the people of this earth are played so well, and they're played extensively. They're played at every move you can think of, folks. Every time something happens, there's something around the corner that's going in a different direction that nobody's looking at. It's all sleight of hand. And when you look at the rhetoric that Trump is offering that sounds so good on the surface, but then you see these slightly racist ideologies that he has beneath the surface, and you see the people he's appointing to his cabinet. And as I said earlier, folks, while he's handing out gifts with the right hand, be very careful to pay attention to what the left hand is doing. Because all the world is indeed a stage, and I think this man is a real player, a lot more than a lot of people really are giving him credit for. And as I said, folks, I've really been looking for a positive. I've been trying to be very encouraging through all this for the last couple of months. I've even been attempting to place a little bit of hope in his presidency, just in the hope that maybe someone from his cabinet or even he himself would hear it. I've tried to be as encouraging as I can to people because I don't like to spread doom and gloom, but I think people need to pay very close attention to this man. I don't think he is someone that can be trusted. And hey, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I would love to be wrong. I would love to have to eat my words and eat humble pie and have this man do all of the good things that people are expecting him to do. But his anti-Mexican, anti-Muslim rhetoric is very disturbing, especially since there is no Muslim threat. This whole war on terror has been contrived. It's being run by Israel. Most of the people out there screaming that Sharia law is coming to your country are most definitely plants or Mossad agents. And it would be possible to defuse the entire global situation. It could be done very, very quickly. And so it's a concern that we're not hearing any discussions about this from Trump, although it is very likely that any such discussions would take place after he reaches the Oval Office anyway, because he had to be very, very careful in this transitional period. Like I said, folks, I am trying to find hope. I am trying to see something positive in this, but I can just feel something very, very disturbing that is happening below the surface. You know, the poor, poor people of this world, really, they've been played so much, and they're always taken to the extreme, hot and cold, hot and cold. They're always given a glimmer of hope, and then they have the rug pulled out from beneath them. They're always given the keys to the prison, only to find the lock has been changed. And the way this serves to demoralize the population is really quite insidious. It's so cruel to do this to people, to dangle carrots of hope in front of people and then to pull the rug out from beneath them time and time again. And that's what I see happening here. I see so many people that are so desperate for change and really want something good to happen in the world, really sincerely want the wars to stop, just want to live in a peaceful world where we all get along. And what ruins that is business. And here we have Trump come along, who's a businessman. And sure, he may be able to run the corporate system the way it should be run, but the problem is that we don't want this corporate system. We want freedom. We want to be able to live our lives and express ourselves to the best of our artistic ability. It isn't about jobs. It isn't about working hard and getting a good retirement plan. It's about living your life, and nothing in this system allows us to do that. And there are so many people that are desperate for change and so many people that want something to hope for, that want something bright on the horizon and who just want to be left alone to live freely. You know, it's their great hope that Trump will provide this reality for them, but they just don't see that they can do it themselves. People can do things for themselves. We can change this system, folks, if we just stop supporting it. And when we see people who are standing up against it, help these people. Stand by these people. Here in Queensland, Australia, there was a woman who posted a video on Facebook a couple of days ago about how the Queensland Child Services had come and taken her child and taken him to hospital to feed him dairy, knowing that dairy will give him seizures and may even kill him. And this is someone you should all be standing up for and someone you should be supporting. And her name is Cinny Walker. And this action is in regard to her son, Chase. And I would recommend that everybody go to Facebook and look up Cinny Walker, C-I-N-I, and find this woman's profile, find these videos and share them. Make them viral, folks. Get everybody to see what this corrupt bunch of child abusers in the Queensland government is actually doing. Get it out to everybody. It's important. And bear in mind, this is a healthy child who was injured by a vitamin K vaccine, folks, because, of course, you have to have the vaccine. And the vaccine was given to the child without the parent's permission. And within 20 minutes of having the vaccine, he started having seizures and now has quadriplegia and cerebral palsy and all this sort of stuff. They're saying it's a gene they can't find. No, it isn't. It's vaccine damage from a corrupt government that forces these poisons into children's veins. And does so regardless of what the parents say about it or even think about it, and regardless whether they even have permission from the parents to do so. Why do they do it? They do it because they support the corrupt and absolutely insidious pharmaceutical industry, which basically sets us up to be little cash cows for itself. That's what all the vaccines are for, folks. They're not to keep you healthy. They're to make you sick so that the pharmaceutical companies can spend your life profiting from you. And this is a woman who's been treating her child with cannabis oil, with very, very positive results, seeing a huge improvement in her son's condition, who is being vilified by the government for doing it. I mean, this is ridiculous, folks. You've got to stop paying attention to government laws regarding cannabis and the people in power, the government. You've got to stop what you're doing with this plant. You know, the outlawing of this plant is a crime against humanity. That's a good thing you can do in your community, folks. Go and approach any politician who's running for office or anybody who's in office now and tell them that you require them to start taking steps to see to the decriminalization of this plant. And any politician who will not work to decriminalize cannabis needs to be removed from office immediately. And I would suggest that they even need to be charged with crimes against humanity, because the outlawing of this plant has done so much damage to the world and so much damage to the human race. And any politician who supports the continued prohibition of cannabis is either a criminal or a fool. It's as simple as that. There's no gray area here, folks. So that's a good thing you can do if you want to help the world and help your community. Become a cannabis crusader and ring these politicians and tell them exactly what you're going to do. You're going to have them removed from office if they don't do something to remove the legislation regarding this plant, because it's all rubbish. It's all been enacted under false pretenses, all brought in completely irresponsibly, all based on the lies of Harry Anslinger and Andrew Mellon and DuPont and all the crew who conspired to ban the plant. And that we require all legislation surrounding this plant to be immediately removed, or you will be removed from your position. It's as simple as that. We've had enough. And we're not interested in your rhetoric. We're not interested in your government studies. We're not interested in your lies. We're telling you to do this or get sacked. It's as simple as that. That's the stance people need to have with these corrupt politicians, folks. To hell with these people. To hell with these people destroying our world and destroying our lives anymore. Please, if you're out there listening to this, please stand up for yourself. I mean, even if the only way you know to stand up for yourself is to vote people out, then tell them if they don't change their stance on cannabis, you are voting them out, and you are voting in someone who is going to do something to address this legislation. And approach any politician that's running for office and tell them, you need to make a stand against cannabis prohibition or we're not going to vote for you. It's that simple. We'll find another candidate and we'll vote for him, and we'll work to get as much of the community to support this candidate as possible. Because we're not interested in any candidate that is going to continue to suppress this medicine. And any police officers out there who may be listening to this broadcast, can you please show some degree of intelligence? Please show some form of humanity and some form of intelligence. If a politician gives you a law which is anti-human and is corrupt, why the hell haven't you turned around and arrested that politician? Why are you so intent on following orders? No matter what criminal gives them to you, you don't care who you brutalize, whose lives you ruin, because it says on paper you have to. What is wrong with you people? Go and purchase working brains and do something right for once. It isn't about following legislation and obeying things to the letter of the law. It's about protecting society, and you are not doing so. Every time you enforce cannabis legislation, you are abusing society, you are abusing your power, and you are missing an opportunity to arrest the real criminal, which is the corrupt politician who committed the crime against humanity that they did by enacting the cannabis legislation to begin with. So get a little reason in your minds and start acting a little humanly, please. Is there some police officer out there that has some modicum of intelligence that can see the reality of what is going on here? It is so frustrating that these order followers simply do whatever it takes to get their little gold star at the end of the week, and they don't care who they abuse to do it. It's unbelievable. Who vets the laws that are given to you people? Does anybody look at them to say they're okay, or do you just take the politician's words for it? It's unbelievable. That really is one of the biggest problems we have in this society, folks, is that our police are so incredibly stupid that they will not address actual crime when it is committed. They believe crime is only committed when someone goes against some rule that some criminal has written on paper. It's just such a convoluted mess, and we really do need some intelligence in the police force. I mean, I'm sure there must be some intelligent people in there somewhere, although they're probably getting quite old by now because the government isn't hiring intelligent people in the police force anymore. But there must be someone in there, even some of the ones with low IQs. Surely there's someone in there that has some modicum of humanity, some modicum of a soul that doesn't care about peer group pressure and will stand against this corrupt system simply because it is the right thing to do. Because when people start doing this, when people from within the system, from within the ranks of the police force and within the ranks of the political system actually start calling this out and standing up for what is right, then we may see a little difference. We may see a little change. But they have to start doing the right thing and stop obeying the dictates of corrupt politicians who do not serve the interests of the people and who enact anti-human legislation all the time. The refugee situation in this country, the way they treat the Aboriginals in this country, these forced vaccinations, everything they are doing, there are so many issues in this country that need dealing with, but the police won't deal with any of them because all they do is obey the scribbles on paper rather than what their moral compass tells them to do. You've got to wonder whether these people even have a moral compass. It's just absolutely disgraceful, folks. It really is. And it gets my blood up, as you can tell. Now, I hate seeing children abused by a corrupt system. I really do. And it drives me nuts that the population is so apathetic that they simply stand around and let this happen. They talk about it, but they don't make any public noise about it, and they don't do anything about it, and it is enormously frustrating for me. You know, if the world simply stood up and the whole country stood up and said, hey, this is not acceptable, then what are the politicians going to do? They've got nowhere to go. You think the police are going to turn against the whole country? Of course they're not. This is their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Of course they're not. You know, once it gets to the point that the people are standing up against the government, many of the police will break ranks. But what's it going to take? How far do we have to be pushed? We have children being abused like this in full view of the people, in full view of everything, and it's just allowed. How can we tolerate this, folks? How can we tolerate the world to continue in the state that it's in? And how can we think that someone like Trump's going to come along and change anything? Really. You know, Trump is a reflection of the people of the United States. Trump had to happen. He's a reflection of how far the United States has gone, how far its morals have degraded, and how dependent they've become on someone coming along to save them. Now, he's a reflection of themselves, and he's not going to save you. You have to save yourself. Trump's a businessman. He's not going to address the real issues. He's just going to do all of this stuff to appease the people and allow the whole corporate system to go along the way it is. He'd be quite happy if the whole place was one big department store. He's a businessman. He'd probably be happy with the New World Order as long as it's his New World Order and it's run as a nice, tight little business. It's just a different face on the coin, folks, and you're not going to get any freedom. You're not going to get any emancipation from this system until you decide to stand up for yourself. Everybody, stand up for yourself. I don't know. I've been saying this for a long time, folks. I really have, that people really have to start taking responsibility for themselves. You know, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard to stand up on your own. It really is. You're in a community that's completely divided, so no one's going to stand up with you. Everyone's going to shout you down when you do so. This is why I've suggested building strong ties with your community so that you can all stand up together. This is what Full Circle Project has been for. This is everything I've attempted to do since starting these radio shows back in 2008, is to just get people to see what we could achieve with some sort of unity. And there's been so much distrust aimed at me for even saying that. Oh, he's suggesting unity. That's the New World Order. I mean, this is the way people think, folks. It's incredible. And there's been so many mechanisms that have come into play to divide the movement and to divide the response, keep everybody arguing over their own particular rabbit hole. But really, folks, once we realize that all of these rabbit holes are there because of this government, all the problems we face are there because of legislation these people put in place, and that it's us, it's we the people who are what makes up humanity, And it's we, the people, who are all suffering, no matter what rabbit hole you're going down, no matter what your religion is, no matter what your belief system is, no matter what school you go to, what country you belong to, what race you belong to, what your sexual persuasion is. It doesn't matter. None of it is relevant in the face of what we are facing. All of it is simply mechanisms to put there to divide us. Black lives matter. All lives matter. White lives matter. Green lives matter. Yellow lives matter. All lives matter. That's the point, you know. We just kept struggling and at each other's throats and competing with each other to get our little social issue above all the other social issues when we're not realizing that all of them are symptoms of the one problem, which is complete and utter all-pervasive systemic corruption. And that's what it is. The entire system needs to be simply dismantled and thrown away. But we don't have to do anything to do that. All we have to do is change our moral compass and always act in our moral compass. And the world has to change around us. Refuse to obey any legislation which causes you to step outside your moral compass, but connect with your community so that you can do that. Be supportive of these people. You know, if they have ideas that are different to yours, understand this is the result of programming. This is the result of the way their lives have been. You know, they've got their own little way to get through this mess, and they're quite happy on their path, and they don't want anyone to disturb that path because otherwise they may not be able to make it through. That's just the way a lot of people feel. But you can be supportive of these people, and you can realize that everybody is on their own path, and that if we all turn to face that which is preventing us from walking our paths properly and with the freedom we need to do so, then we can change it. We can actually make a difference if we band together to do so. And realize that we're all different. We'll all be on a different path. Of course we will. That's what the human race is about. That's how you have a human race. That's how you have such diversity. That's how you have human beings having the enormous creative potential that they have, because they're each on their own path. So why can't we respect that in others? Why can't we respect that? Why can't we allow people to have other ideas without ramming our version of reality down their throat and arguing with them and trying to force them to become like us? Why can't we just turn and face the system and emancipate this species? Get to a point where we can actually express ourselves and find out what is really going on here. Because what's really going on at the moment, folks, is a people farm. As I've said so often, you are being farmed. This whole species is being farmed. We've got a group of psychopathic pedophiles that are stealing children and waging wars and enslaving everybody into poverty just to keep them busy, just to keep them running on the treadmill so they don't ever notice what's going on around them. And it's time we paid attention to it. It's time we stepped out of this system, because we don't have to do any of it. We don't have to do any of these things. We don't have to do all of these things to compete with each other. We don't have to obey the dictates of politicians. The politicians are supposed to be there to manage infrastructure. That's all they're supposed to do. All this other stuff they're doing is all rubbish that they've contrived. You notice how everybody is so threatened at Trump wanting to build ties with Russia? Because the political systems that we have now need an enemy. These governments need us to have an enemy. If we don't have an enemy, then we don't need government. So they're really freaked out about anybody trying to stop the war of terror and trying to build relations with other countries. Because without a war, without an enemy, then the government cannot control you. We would be free if we did not have an enemy. And all of these enemies have been manufactured and contrived. None of them are necessary. This is simply the result of governments colluding with each other to control the populace. We don't need enemies. There's no reason for any nation to be at war with any other nation. Not on the modern world there isn't. There's no country here that needs to be fighting with anybody else. And you could say, oh, Israel needs to fight because it's got to defend itself. Well, Israel isn't defending itself. It's never defended itself. It's been expanding. The whole act of the founding of Israel was an act of aggression, and all it's done is expand and act aggressively towards all its neighbours ever since. So don't think Israel needs to defend itself. The IDF, the Israeli Defence Force, is not a defence force at all. It's an offence force. It's an occupying force. It's a force of aggression. It isn't defending anything. So there's no reason for any country to be at war, folks. And if it wasn't for supremacist ideologies such as Judaism, Israel wouldn't have a problem anyway. If it didn't want to build an apartheid Jewish-only state, there wouldn't be a problem. And if it wasn't stealing another country to do it, there certainly wouldn't be a problem. But I think all religious ideologies are misguided, I really do. I don't think any government should be based on religious ideologies. I don't think anybody's lives should be based on religious ideologies. If people want to go down that path, well, that's their own choice. but there's no reason for them to inflict it upon others. It's just a ridiculous way to think. And I believe that all those who do attempt to inflict their religion upon others aren't even getting the point of their religion, because basically all religions preach tolerance. But they do in a very insidious way. They preach tolerance, but then tell you you must kill the infidel who doesn't buy into the same book as you. It's a weird thing. So I just steer right away from all of them, because all religions have a seed of supremacy at their root. They all do. They all say you must respect all the other religions, but you've got it right with this one. This is the way to heaven. So it's a supremacist way of thinking right from the very onset, and I just avoid them all. I think religions only serve to pollute the mind and to disconnect people from their natural connection to the Creator. You know, all of this comes down to self-responsibility. All of this comes down to the basic difference between right and wrong. And we all know the difference between right and wrong. We all know what good is, and we all know what bad is. But we don't ever take responsibility for the global situation. We do things that are bad, and we know they're bad, but we do them anyway because someone wrote down on paper that we have to do that. And it may not be that we're actually doing something bad, but we're being prevented from doing something good, which is virtually the same as doing something bad. Now, this whole cannabis situation, you know, we look at this and we see the healing properties of this oil and we go, oh, isn't it terrible that the government doesn't let us use it? And we leave it there. No, it isn't terrible that the government doesn't let us use it. It's criminal that the government doesn't let us use it. It's a crime against humanity. It's removing you of a substance which has been your companion plant for thousands upon thousands of years. The only plant that you have an endocrine system in your body to accept. The plant that has been your source of health and your source of stability and well-being for centuries upon centuries. All of this knowledge has been hidden from the people, and this substance has been banned by the government in order to enslave the people, in order to shut down their consciousness. We're told that, oh no, this plant brings about schizophrenia. There's been tens of thousands of studies that have come in. This was in the Sydney Morning Herald a couple of weeks ago, folks, which shows that the Sydney Morning Herald is a rag that is just basically selling fake news to the world, because cannabis does not interfere with brain function. It actually improves brain function. Now, this plant has done so much good for humankind, and its outlawing is an absolute crime. It's not terrible that they ban it. It's a crime that they ban it, and it's not acceptable that they ban it. And the only way that is going to change is when we stand up and do something about it. And it's the same for so many other issues, folks. You know, our government isn't going to save us. Trump isn't going to save you. He may do a few good things on the surface. He may give you a lot of handouts and a lot of glitz and glamour to go along with it. He may improve your life on the ground and give you more income, but he's not doing anything about the real situation and the real problems that humanity faces. If he doesn't do the three things I mentioned earlier, deal with Clinton, deal with 9/11, and deal with what's going on in Israel, if he doesn't do those things, and if he doesn't do something to address the monetary system and do it by not openly attacking the Federal Reserve, but by addressing it in a more diplomatic way, a way that might be effective, a way that will not crash the US economy and crash the global economy and bring about martial law and bring the police state online and do everything that was in the Simpsons cartoon, then that may count for something as well. I mean, there's a way to do things and there's a way not to do things, folks. How about addressing the education system, Donald? How about allowing people to think intelligently again? Now, there's so many things that could be done and there's so many ways this could go, but it's really not shaping up to be anything pleasant at all. And that is a real concern, folks. It really is. All the world is a stage, folks, and people are always offered these little ways out to find that they were tricked and it was actually another way in. So be very, very careful of where you're being led and pay very close attention to what's happening. And as I said, folks, grab the popcorn because we are in for a real sideshow. It's going to be interesting to see which way it all goes, folks. But when it all comes down to it, we don't want a world that runs according to good business sense. We want a world that runs according to good human values. That's what we want. And we're not going to get that from any government. We're only going to do that when we choose to change our moral compass, and then the world will reflect that back to us. That's all we have to realize, folks, because that is the truth. But I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to pretty well pull the plug there. Do come and see me if you're going to be out in America this year. As I mentioned last week, this will probably be the last year I'm touring for quite a while until further notice anyway. So if you ever have wanted to come and see me, do come and see me at the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia. It's a great gig, folks. Do come to that. Do come to Aviate in England if you can. Do come to Anacapulco in Mexico if you can. If you do go and buy tickets at Anacapulco, folks, if you use the code MATRIX, you'll get a 10% discount from that as well. So do take advantage of that if you're booking tickets at Anacapulco. Thank you to anybody who continues to support my website, thecrowhouse.com, and continues to support the show. Thank you to all those who contribute to the Patreon account. It is sorely needed, folks. It's the only thing that's keeping me going, so thank you very much for that. But I am completely out of time, so I'm going to have to pull the pin pretty well right now. And do share Cindy Walker's video. Do make that viral. Do go look her up on Facebook and support what she's doing and make a contribution to her fund if you can. I look forward to speaking to you again next week, folks. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.